My father-in-law, may he rest in peace, was not a particularly religious man, but he had a few pithy sayings on the subject. One was this: there have been two great teachers in history, Aristotle, who said, think, and Jesus, who said, be kind. Well, that's an okay place to start, but there's more to Jesus than that. And if you were listening to the gospel just now, then you could already begin to expand on what Jesus said. And it would include this: work on yourself. Work on yourself. Today's passage is a continuation of Matthew's lengthy Sermon on the Mount, which began with the Beatitudes, followed by salt and light. What follows today is certainly connected to what preceded it. We are receiving insight for living into the Beatitudes and what's involved in being salt and light in the world. Jesus cites the law, states that he has come to fulfill it, not to abolish it, and then instructs us to go deeper, to go beyond the surface reading of the law and move into the realm of emotion and intention. It is not enough to simply follow the law, he says. We must get curious about our emotions and honest about our motivations that ultimately drive our behavior, and in some cases, drive it right off the road. One need only think of King David in 2 Samuel for an example. His reflexive acquisition of Bathsheba, followed by deception and the murder of her spouse Uriah, this could be Exhibit A for Jesus' argument this morning. Today's gospel is a call to self-awareness, for it is the state of being where we come to realize our dependence upon God. In this process of working on ourselves, we open ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit and allow God's grace to begin to heal and transform our hearts and our lives. And as a result, it transforms the world around us. I know this can be a frightening proposal, for some may fear of being overwhelmed by what they've been working hard to ignore within themselves. Some of us were taught that certain emotions or feelings were negative or unacceptable, and you better not have them. Boys are not supposed to cry. Girls aren't supposed to be angry. Who made up this stuff, anyways? Or perhaps the better question is, who benefits from these so-called rules? Whatever the case, be assured, my friends, God can handle whatever you've got. And here's the thing. Ignoring or denying emotions is as successful as trying to hold one of those cylindrical balloons. You know those ones that at children's birthday parties they tie into little poodles? It's like trying to hold a cylindrical balloon underwater. You can hold down the ends, but then the middle pops up. You can hold down the end, the middle, and then the end pops up. Repression doesn't work, certainly not in the long run. And it can't, because we're just not made that way. For you see, the biblical understanding of human nature comes from Genesis and the Hebrew word nephesh. Human beings are nephesh, psychosomatic beings, physical bundling of appetites and desires. This stands in contrast with the dualistic Greek notion of body and soul. Instead, the biblical witness speaks to the truth we experience every day. We are complicated, integrated, psychosomatic beings animated by the breath of God. And emotions, with their physical sensations, are information worthy of attention and curiosity. Emotions are helpful data. and approached in a non-judgmental way, they are clues on the path toward right relationship with yourself, with God, and with your neighbor. To use the words from Deuteronomy, it's to choose life. Choosing life is to work on yourself, seeking to live into the Beatitudes and to be light and salt in the world. In the process of pondering all these things this week, I recalled an interview with John Lewis, one of the Big Six leaders of the Civil Rights Movement. In Krista Tippett's January 2017 On Being interview entitled John Lewis, The Art and Discipline of Nonviolence, she drew out the emotional and spiritual work that members of the movement engaged prior to their confrontation with institutional racism. Prior to them engaging that important work they had, salt and light in the world. John Lewis, who led the first march on Selma on what became known as Bloody Sunday, said this about that spiritual and emotional process. First of all, you have to grow. It's just not something that is natural. You have to be taught the way of peace, the way of love, the way of nonviolence. And in the religious sense, in the moral sense, you can say in the bosom of every human being, there is a spark of the divine. So you don't have a right as a human to abuse that spark of the divine in your fellow being. We, from time to time, would discuss, if you see someone attacking you, beating you, spitting on you, you have to think of that person, you know? Years ago, that person was an innocent child, innocent little baby. And so what happened? Something go wrong? Did the environment? Did someone teach that person to hate, to abuse others? So you try to appeal to the goodness of every human being, and you don't give up. You never give up on anyone. Jesus says to us today, work on yourselves. And don't give up on yourselves or anyone else. Because perhaps you've noticed in our society there is great need for salt and light. From the freeways to the Facebook comment threads, from the highest office of the country to those trembling in the shadows, this world needs folks who are not only kind, but who are actively working on themselves, who are letting go of blame and scapegoating and seeking to live lives of integrity, honesty, and reconciliation. Working hard on making their yeses yes and their noes noes, who are following the law and the prophets and going deeper and addressing root issues and root causes, even within ourselves, so that our lives may shine ever more brightly with Christ's light. To be like John Lewis and those in the civil rights movement, to love ourselves and one another with a God-given fierceness that never gives up, even in the face of persecution. We are those people. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to do this work. And may God give us the courage and the grace to do it. From the words of Deuteronomy, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. My friends, let us work on ourselves and choose life. Amen.